Praise the Lord.
All right, amen. Praise the Lord for that. We've been looking forward to being here once again at Unity Baptist Church, and what a blessing this church is. And thank the Lord for the godly heritage of this church, and it's so good to see so many people just being faithful, amen. Just been faithful through all these years and that we've known this church, and coming down this afternoon, we was just driving down the road and just kind of thinking some of the great men of God met here and got to know. I think of Brother Bud McCraw and good godly heritage there, and a lot of missionaries that come out of his family there, and think of Brother Burns, and what can you say about Brother Burns? I mean, you never had to think what he's thinking. He just tell you. I remember. Maybe I shouldn't say this, preacher, but I just think that I say it. But you see what you get. But I remember being here for missions conference, Brother Burns, there was a young missionary getting started out, getting ready to go. He was on deputation, getting ready to go to the mission field, and he wanted to show slides, and I just kind of cringed when he said that, Brother Ernest. He said, "Well, I don't normally preach. I show slides instead of preaching." And I said, "Oh, okay." And then afterwards, Brother Burns went down. I think you need to stick with the slides instead of the preaching. And I said, "Oh my! I felt so sorry for this young man. Started right out of Bible college, and because he said, if you want support, you're gonna have to preach in this church." And he said, "I think you need to stick to slides." I'll never forget that. I will never forget that of Brother Burns. But then, and of course, Brother Marin Atkinson and other men of God, and we just thank the Lord for all what the Lord's done at this church through the years, and just a blessing to see God's people being faithful. Amen. It's faithfulness. God blesses faithfulness, and we just thank the Lord for God's faithfulness, and just people here that's been here a long time, and just being faithful still, being faithful. And so what a blessing that is, to see just being faithful, and we appreciate that. And some churches you go into, you see a whole new crowd every time you come back on furlough. It's just good to see some people just being faithful to the Lord. And so praise the Lord for that. Please get one of our prayer cards after the service here, and get one of those and put that up on. And I always, people tease me about it. I appreciate you put that on your refrigerator. Amen. That's where Baptists go the most. Go to the refrigerator. Amen. I started out of missions back in 1992. I used to say in the prayer closet. I hate to say it, but we probably go to the refrigerator more than we do our prayer closet. Put that on your refrigerator. Every time you open the refrigerator door, please pray for the Tooley family. God's been so good to us, as the preacher's saying. We're in May, will be 29 years that we've been on the mission field, and my wife and I wouldn't recommend it how we did it, but we got married a year after we got married. We left and went to the mission field, and we really didn't know what married life was, because the whole year, we have one more year left on deputation. And that whole year basically was a year-long honeymoon. I mean, every church went to, every camp meeting, every missions revival we went to, everyone treated us like we was on a honeymoon. I mean, I remember pulling down Florida, Brother Wally Wooten, the camp meeting down there, and he said, "I'm not getting you just a regular hotel. So we're going to get you a honeymoon suite for the week." And God's people just been good to us. Our whole married life has been the ministry. And we thank the Lord for God being so good to us. And when we went to the mission field, I just think something's missing today in this new generation that's coming out. That just something missing. Because when my wife and I went, we knew that we didn't know anything. You talk to some people, they'll tell you everything about that country. They'll tell you everything about that job, and they've never even been there. We were so green And our last names weren't the Green family. Now, I have some dear friends that are Greens, dear friends of mine, almost like a family to us. But, you know, we knew we didn't know anything. When we went to the mission field, we were one of the youngest missionaries there in England. Everyone said, well, I got grandkids older than you are. But, you know, our pastor always taught us just to serve God. Give your life to God and serve God. And so I thank the Lord how God's been good to us. Thank the Lord for the churches been started, churches that we've been able to help, souls that have been saved by the glory of God, men of God that have been called to preach. And Unity Baptist Church has had a part in that. And I thank the Lord for that. As it wasn't churches like Unity Baptist Church, we want to be able to be on the mission field. We've seen a lot of people come and a lot of people go. I've seen people come that had a lot more ability, had a lot more talent. I've met missionaries that could start a church in the Sahara Desert and run 500 just on their personality. But I don't have a great personality. All I know is preach and witness and knock on doors. That's the only thing I know what to do. We didn't have all the charisma it takes to start a church. And matter of fact, Brother Allen said that when we was getting ready to leave for the mission field, Brother Larry Wells preached my ordination, and he preached on sending the light. And Brother Allen said, he said, well, if God's going to do anything in England, we know it's not going to be the Thule's, it's going to be of God. And I know what he's meaning, but I knew it wasn't going to be nothing to me or my wife. It's all of God. And we've seen so many people come and go. Since we've been there, we've seen over 70 missionaries leave, missionary families leave since we've been there. And people that left had a lot more talent than we would ever have. But I thank the Lord that God's been faithful through all these years. And I thank the Lord that people's been saved, people's called in the ministry, and people that God had a part. And a lot of our ministry, we have people that move into our area, and they're only there for maybe 3 or 4 years, and then maybe they move away, or their job transfers them. And we're able to try to train them and to ground them in the Word, and then they can go to another church and be helped. And I thank the Lord. In the past, we've been able to help a lot of American Air Force men. They're in the Air Force stationed in England, and now we have now they're serving in churches in Texas, New Mexico, Ohio, Hawaii. I can't think of all. As I told Brother Ernest this afternoon, I said I got early timers. I forget a lot. I'm not 1960 yet. I thank the Lord for these men that came to England to be stationed in the military, and now they're serving the Lord in other parts of America and other parts of the world. And I thank God we had a small part of that. A lot of foreigners have come through. We have 12 different nationalities in our church from all around the world, and before we've had even more than that. And many times they come and we're able to instill something in them that when they go off, they can go serve the Lord and maybe back in their home country. And so thank the Lord for that. And I never understood what God was doing, because when I was a young man, I was burdened about going to Africa. I wanted to go to Africa as a missionary, Nigeria, West Africa. But God never would let me do that. I had a burden, but there wasn't a call to go there. There's a difference between a burden and a call, because you can go somewhere and have a burden, but then when the hard times come, you're quickly ready to quit. And that's why I'm afraid a lot of times, and I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm afraid a lot of times in these Bible colleges, and we need to promote missions, and we need to do more to getting the gospel out, but I believe there has to be a call. It takes more than just having a burden for a country, because every time a missionary comes in our church, I get a burden. Man, I want to go there. I want to go. I hear that missionary, he's going to Australia. Man, I want to go there. And this missionary is in Africa. He talked about how they would throw tracks out in the ditches, and people would jump in the ditches just to get to tracks, and they could announce going to have a revival meeting that night out in the middle of the town in the streets, and they have 2,000 300 people would show up. I said, man, that's where I want to go. But God wouldn't let me do that. I just couldn't understand why God kept impressing my heart about going to England, to the concrete jungles of England, the 60 million people there in Great Britain, that we had a part of reaching Eastern Western Europe of 750 million people, some of the hardest countries in all the world. But I believe the gospel will get the job done. I believe old-time preaching will get the job done. I believe God will use a church that stands on the Word of God and believes what we believe and what we taught. And since we've been these 29 years, God's allowed us to stay true. We haven't changed. We've tried to believe and preach what was taught us, and I might not be an old man, I'm getting close to it. My wife says she's not an old woman, she just got old hair, she says. I was privileged to study under some of the greatest men of God that ever walked this in of the South. I had a privilege to have Brother Sammy Allen be my pastor. I've been a member of Concord Baptist Church for 37 years now. And I had a privilege to drive and be with Brother Stennett Ballou and Brother Wayne Henderson, James Crumpton, Mel Rudder, Robert Jenkins, some of the greatest Christians that ever walked the face of the earth. And I don't know, Brother Don Green, men of God. And as a young man, I thank the Lord that God let me to cross their paths and to learn from them and try to, what they instilled in me, I've tried to instill in people there in England. And we appreciate all that you do for us, and we're looking forward as we go back in July, what the Lord's going to do. Next year, we're going to be celebrating our 30th year in the ministry there in England on the field. We started Deptation in 1992, but we'll be celebrating 30 years actually on the mission field, and we're going to have a week-long preaching and singing and evangelizing that week. And if anyone's interested, on my prayer card, there is an email address. You send me an email. If you're interested in coming, we're going to be having a missions group coming from America. And Brother Dwayne Moore and Brother Stacy Piercy will be coming. And they're going to be hosting this missions group. And if Brother Piercy doesn't have kidney stones again, but he's always getting kidney stones. But we're praying he'll be healthy enough to come. And those two men of God are going to be coming over preaching and singing. And they're going to be hosting the missions group. And if you're interested in coming, it don't matter how old or how young you may be. We love to have teenagers, love young people. I want to introduce them to missions, what God's doing in Europe and how it can be done the right way, but also it's good for retired folks. You're retired now. I know when you retire, you're more busy now than you were when you're working, but it'd be good for you going on a missions trip. It's good to send a pastor on a mission trip. I believe every church needs to do that. Send your pastor on a mission trip to get more of a burden for missions. And you pray about that. If God would have you to come, we'd love to have you. And we're going to be, it's going to be work. It's not just going to be vacation time. We're going to go out and get the gospel out. Our goal is to reach 5,000 homes that week of the gospel. And I believe the gospel will work. I believe in gospel literature. It seems like there's a new era coming out that we want to get away from getting the Word of God out. I don't understand that. They say, oh, you know, we need to have barbecues to reach people. Or we gotta serve hamburgers and hot dogs to reach people. Now, I'm not saying we can't use some of those things to reach people, but it's the Word of God is going to go a lot farther than that hot dog or that barbecue or giving out some clothes to someone. The gospel is going to go a lot farther. I've seen people that received a gospel leaflet, a tract in their door many years ago, and maybe they laid it on the counter in their living room. And when something happened in their family, a tragedy came, you know what happened? They came up to church and they gave me that. They bring that tract and show. They said, man, someone put this through my door 5 or 10 years ago, and I'm going through some things right now, and they showed up for church. And that track will go further. And I thank the Lord for, since we've been there, all the tracks has gone out all around, not just in our area, but all around England and Europe. I believe we've given out somewhere around 5 million pieces of gospel literature. And would you say every one of those, not every one of those showed up for church, But God blessed us because we went out. I wish 5 million show up for church. That'd be great. I think I'd have a heart attack. But I don't know where we'd see them in our little church. Because our church is smaller than your church. Our building is. I wish we had a building this size. But God's been good. And you pray about that. We'll be also doing some sightseeing, taking down to London and seeing where the crown jewels are of the Queen, and be able to go and see where Amazing Grace was written, and go and see where John Newton wrote Amazing Grace, and see where missions all started with William Carey, and see how God used him as a shoe cobbler, sent him to India as a missionary. All that's just in driving distance where we live, and we just want to give more of a people an opportunity to see what God's doing there in the country of England, of reaching those 50 million people, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you pray for that, and pray for us that souls will be saved and lives will be changed in that week of meeting. But let's turn to Isaiah 21. I thank the Lord for the beautiful auditorium here. Boy, what a difference. The last time I came in here, I thought I was coming to some community church or something. All these posh chairs, and boy, it looks really nice. It looks really nice. And so I reckon these chairs are so comfortable, you can just preach longer then. Is that right? Okay, I'm teasing. Because those old wooden pews, they got sore after a while. Amen. And these chairs, they are comfortable. Amen. They're not these chairs are more comfortable than our people have back in England. They'd be jealous. But we thank the Lord. Amen. But Isaiah chapter 21. And I said it right. Isaiah. Yeah, that's right. Because in England, we call it Isaiah. We say Isaiah in England. But Isaiah chapter 21. And we'll look here at verse 6. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go, said a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, and a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, a lion, my lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I've set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods have been broken unto the ground. All my threshing and the court of my floor, that which I've heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this evening. I pray that you bless. Lord, I thank you for this church and what it stood for all these years and still going on for God. I pray you bless. I pray that you touch my throat tonight. Lord, it's a little raspy tonight with this old pollen and things of sinuses, but Lord, I just pray you'd help us tonight in your name. Amen. We see here is a year of 689 BC, and we see that the world is in turmoil. The Babylonian Empire is under attack by the Assyrian Empire, and all the nations hoped against hope that Babylon would be able to defeat the Assyrian aggressors to the north. However, it was not to be. And the Babylonians fell to the Assyrians, and everyone knew that they would not stop until the entire region was under their dominion. And against the backdrop of war and against the attack upon the nation of Israel, God commands the prophet Isaiah to assume the role of a watchman. Isaiah is to look to the prophetic future and tell the people what he sees approaching here. And that's just what Isaiah does in our text. The message might have been given nearly 2,700 years ago, but I believe the message is still timely of today. War is raging in our world today. People are losing their lives by the thousands by terrorist attack. There's weird national disasters on the horrors of war. They're on every type of level today. We're seeing that the world is rising. We see old convictions and biblical standards are being swept away right before our very eyes. The winds of change are blowing all around us. Fearful things are just on the horizon. But today, just as there was in the day of Isaiah, there is a need for the people of God to assume the role of a watchman. There's a need for us to take our stand. There's a need for us to look at the approaching and open our mouths and sound the warning sound today. We are living in the last days, and we need to stand as watchmen in this last hour today. And I want to talk about this evening for a few minutes, where are the watchmen? We're living today in dangerous days. We're living in days when the enemies of the Lord and the enemies of our soul and the enemies of Satan would love nothing more than to overturn our lives, overturn our churches. The enemy's desire is to see our ministries, to see our families, and see our testimonies, and see our churches, and everything that's biblical, and everything that's spiritual, dashed upon the rocks of failure. And if we're to avoid such a fate, we need to consider the work of the ancient watchmen. We need to know the ministry that's needed today as much as it ever was today. It's not the time to back up. It's not the time to just retire. It's a time in these last days that we need to stand. Our towns, in our cities, in our country, we need a church. They'll stand upon the Word of God. He'll say, and we've been a preacher. We've been proclaiming it for 30 and 40 and 50 years. But we got to keep on standing in these last days. If not for anything, for the sake of our children, for our sake of our grandchildren, for the sake of our great-grandchildren. They need to be able to have a church where they can go to and hear the Word of God preach. Many of these old men of God, they're gone. They're in glory. But that doesn't mean we need to change. It doesn't mean we need to water down the message. We need to stand true like we've never stood before. We notice what is the watchman's mission. We notice here in verse 6, "For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, said a watchman, let him declare what he seeth." Here in ancient times, those who lived in these walled cities were considered blessed individuals. And by being inside a city that had walls, they had two forms of protection here. And one was the wall itself that stood as a barrier between the citizens and their enemies. It stood as a barrier between what was acceptable and what was not acceptable. And that wall was a barrier to hold out the trouble. And the city of Jericho was an ancient city which placed great value on the defensive nature of that wall. And then the second form of protection, well, those walled cities would possess, was that watchman. He's mentioned in our text. He was essential for the proper foundation of that wall. He stood upon that wall and he kept watch over the surrounding countryside. And when the invading armies and dangers would come into view, he would sound the warning. And for those that were inside the wall, they were prepared to go to war. And both the watchmen and the wall were essential for the survival of that wall city itself. And without the watchmen, those walls were blinded. Without that wall, the watchmen would have been unnecessary. And without that wall, the city would be destroyed. And you go to many of the cities there in Israel, and I had a privilege of 2 years ago to be able to. I went to Israel, the Parker Memorial Baptist Church. They invited us to go with them, and it was just a short flight for us to fly over there to England. And boy, we had a time of our life. And boy, when we saw those walled cities, it really got to see what they were. And when we talk about the wall, we're not talking these little brick walls they build over houses. I mean, they're big, thick walls, and you could walk upon the top of those walls. But there had to be a watchman that helped guard those walls and then warn about the problems were coming. And we see that verse 6 points out the twofold duty of the ancient watchman. The watchman was there to watch. The Bible said the most important duty of the watchman was for him to watch. He was a stand upon the towers. He was a stand upon the walls. And his eyes were to scan the countryside for any kind of trouble. And from his high and lofty lofty porch. He could see the armor, and he could see the sword. He could see the spear, and he could see the banners of the approaching enemy would come, and he could use the clouds of dust that was raised by the drumming of thousands to defeat upon the desert sand. He was to be in his place with his eyes open. He was to watch for the danger that was to come. But also the watchman was not just to stand there to watch, but he was there to warn the people the enemy was coming here. And whether he saw anything approaching or not, he was to give his report to the people within the walls. And when they asked him the conditions on the outside, and when trouble arose in the distance, he was to lift up his voice. He would sound a warning to the people within the walls so they could prepare themselves to battle. And those who lived outside the city would come inside the walls to be able to find refuge. And the same thought was in Isaiah. Isaiah 58:1, where the prophet Isaiah said, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." And Hosea 8:1, where Hosea was told to set the trumpet and to watch. The ancient watchmen had a duty. They had to watch, and then they had to warn. If there was ever a time when watchmen were needed around the church, watchmen were needed around our homes, watchmen were needed in our families, watchmen were needed down the schoolhouse, in our community, the day is now that we need some watchmen to stand upon on the Word of God. We need people of discernment who know the Word of God. We desperately need some people who knew the enemy and keeping their eye on him and what he's doing. Like the 1 Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour your home. He wants to devour your marriage. He wants to devour this church. He wants to destroy anything has any kind of resemblance of holiness and godliness. And we need some people who will watch and warn others what is coming. Whether the news is good, whether the news is bad, we need some men and women who look at the world around them and raise up the standard today of the Word of God. The home and our family are under severe attack today. Children have forgotten the meaning of submission. Children have forgotten the meaning of obedience. Husband and wives have no concept of faithfulness to marriage. No understanding of death do us part. Parents have forgotten how to apply the board of education to the seat of learning. God have put a reason on the behind here. God put some extra padding there for a reason. And we're raising a generation of rebels who know nothing about submission, have nothing about authority, because we have not raised the standard. And we're lowering the standard today. We don't need to lower it. We don't need to soften our stand. We don't need to stop preaching. But preacher, you know, we're living a different day. We're living a different generation. Yes, it's not the same as it was in the 90s. It's not the same as it was in the 70s. It's not the same as the 80s. But my Bible has not changed. God has not changed. The church has changed, but God's not changed. And we need to keep standing like we've never done before. God has been kicked out of the schoolhouse. His book is off limits. Children are forbidden to pray. Students are taught that God is a myth from our past. Students are told that men evolved from a single amoeba which formed countless ages ago, and if God can be materialized, and children taught that God doesn't exist, if they really believe that they are the result of evolution, then they have no rules, they have no speed limits, they can go down the highway to hell with any thought of consequences. When we teach a generation that there is no God, there is no Bible, there is no prayer, we're telling we can live any way we want. We can do anything we want. And we wonder why our country, and we wonder why our state, and why our towns, and our cities, and our world is dying and going to hell. We need to get back to some watchmen that stand upon the way. It may not be popular, and it may not be well liked, but God will be honored. Amen. And so, well, you know, they see your car parked outside here. You're already marked. Amen. I tell when people come to our church, church. Our church in England's kind of known as the black sheep of England. We're old time. We're old fashioned. We still believe sin is sin and wrong is wrong. And a lot of people don't like that. And when we have our revival meetings, sad to say, I hate to say it, a lot of the other missionaries in the country won't come to our meeting because they know what we stand for. But, you know, they like to go to churches like this church, raise support, get support, but then they go to the mission field a little different way. And I don't believe God's pleased with that. I believe we should be true and be honest and not be a robber of God. And we should stand just as much. We need a watchman in Amory, Mississippi. We need a watchman in Corby, England. We need a watchman in Resaca, Georgia. And we need a watchman in New Harmony, Mississippi, wherever we may be living. We need some watchmen, they'll stand. But what is the watchman's mission? But what is the watchman's method? In verse 7, and he saw a chariot, well, a couple of horsemen, and a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed, and he cried, a lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I've set in my ward whole nights. Behold, here cometh the chariot of men with a couple of horsemen, and he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods are broken into the ground. Oh, my threshings and the cord of my floor, that which I've heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, here I declare unto you. Here we see he was vigilant. He was vigilant in verses 7 and 8 to watch. Verse 7 tells us that he saw. He hearkened diligently with much heed to what he saw. He took a great care of watching. He took a great care of nothing, of everything he saw. He took a great care. In verse 8, he compares himself to a lion. Lions have very short eyelids. They tell me, I don't know. I won't get that close to one. Amen. But unless they're in the zoo. And lions, and even when they're asleep, they appear as though their eyes are open and they're watching you. And the watchman is saying that he was in his place day and night, and he did not leave his post, but he remained there to make sure that nothing occurred on his watch he did not see. And the ancient watchman sets an excellent example for those of us that we need to be watchmen today. And again, we think of 1 Peter 1:8, when Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom may devour. And that word sober means to be calm. It means to be collected. And that word vigilant means to be watchful. The Lord's watchmen are not to get caught up in the excitement of the times. We're not to be disturbed by the events that are happening around us today. But we're to be ever watching. And we know how things appear where there's calm and everything's well. But we would see trouble coming in the horizon. And we are to sound the warning. We're living a day when we don't even know what a man is, and we don't know what a woman is. We're living a day we don't know what constitutes a marriage. Well, I'll give you a secret. It's in the Bible, amen, in Genesis. It was Adam and Eve. It was not Adam and Steve. It was not Eve and Sarah, amen. It was a man and a woman. And you know, there's many countries in the world that you can be locked up, and especially where I'm at in England, if they would hear me preaching that, I could be arrested. I could be put in jail. I could be kicked out of the country because they're saying I'm preaching a hate crime. But my friend, the Bible's still the Bible. The Word of God is still true. We need to teach our children. We need to teach our grandchildren. We still... this business of men dressing like women and men trying to dress like men, God help us. You know, over in England, we have this thing, this charity. They raise money for charity. And this charity, once a year, all the men go out and wear dresses and they raise money. And we always told our kids, and they always want to hug everybody. And of course, when our kids were little, they're grown now, but when they were little, we said, no, you're not going there. We're not giving that charity. And we're not going to go hug on those its. I call them, I don't call them men, I call them its. And people say, oh, that's so dogmatic. But you know what's happened all through these nearly 30 years? Now it's getting more accepted. Now we see people, I've seen people in England, I see see men walking down the streets looking like a woman and try to act like a woman. And I'll be honest, they're pretty ugly too, Brother Ernest. So they better stick with being a man. Amen. And we're in a mess today. But we need some watchmen to stand up for the things of God. Our world, it is a mist of change. We are not to be disturbed by the things that we see happen around us, but we're to watch always. And we need to warn when necessary without giving the devil any glory. He's a wise adversary. He will deceive you. He will trick you. He will trap you. If it is able, Paul said, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. If you would be a watchman, we need to keep our eyes on what the enemy is doing. We need to sound the alarm when necessary. We need to refuse to give in as much as a foothold in your church, in your family, in your home, in your life. The Bible said, neither give place to the devil. He was vigorous to warn. When the watchman's trouble approaching, he didn't keep the message to himself. He opened his mouth and he shouted out the warning for everyone that be told. He told everyone within earshot trouble was coming. And there's a lesson for the watchmen of our day as we watch the enemy approaching, even nearing the walls of our churches, nearing the walls of our homes, of our families, our communities. We have a responsibility to sound the warning. I would also add, and we have a duty to warn the lost world the danger that they face. We must share the gospel with them. We need to warn them of hell. We need to warn them the judgment of God. We need to warn them of the wrath of God. There's a great danger and eternal devastation on the horizon, and we're commanded to warn the lost. When Paul stood before Felix, he said he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come in the book of Acts. And it's our duty, our generation, to sound out a warning that sin is sin, fornication's wrong, adultery's wrong, homosexuality's wrong. These things are wicked. These things against the word of God, and times may have changed, but the Bible's not changed. Some will say, well, what's the use? No one's listening to us anymore. I'd answer that objection by reminding you of the judgment seat of Christ. One day we'll stand before the Lord, and when we do, He'll give an account of our lives, including how we raised the alarm in our day. The Bible talks about, so then every one of them shall give an account of himself to God. They might not want to hear it, but we will be accountable to God if we stand for what is right. And now, when I'm saying we need to stand right, we need to have the right spirit too. We don't need to get the devil in us, try to get the devil out. I think Brother Ballou said, we don't need to get the devil in us in order to get the devil out of someone else. We need to have the right spirit, but we need to stand on the Word of God today. And the truth is illustrated all through the Word of God. The passage is a warning to the nation of Israel for failing to warn the people of the spiritual peril in their day. And even though the passage was not written to us, but we must understand, like the watchmen of Israel, we will give an account to the Lord. And when we fail to raise the warning of God's judgment of sin, we will not go to hell, but we'll give an account to the Lord for our action. And because we've not stood on the Bible, and because we've not stood against sin, we're going to see people dying and going to hell unnecessary. No one should have to die and go to hell. It'd be a shame die and go to hell from Amory, Mississippi. It'd be a shame to die. Of all the gospels went out, all the preachings went out, but you know, God give you a choice. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman, and you have to either accept it or reject it. So we need to warn the world of judgment. So the watchman's, we saw what is the watchman's mission, what is the watchman's method. But then lastly, we see, what is the watchman's message? What was the message the watchman was to tell? Well, verses 11 and 12 are prophecy against the people of Edom. And so the picture is someone who approaches the walls and yells up to the watchman during the night and say, watchman, what is the night? And the question has been interpreted in a lot of different ways. Some say it was a question reflects a careless heart. They believe the question is asked a sarcasm. The questioner does not care if he receives the answer or not because he doesn't plan or change, prepare for what is coming. Some believe the question is born out of contempt. The questioner may be saying to the watchman, I know what you think you see, and I hear what you're saying, but I don't believe a word of it, and I will not heed your warning. Others believe it's a question from a concerned heart. And the questioner might be asking, watchman, tell me everything's all right. What will the morning come? Is there any hope? And regardless of the reason for the question, the watchman had a threefold answer here. And the same answer of the watchman of our day needs to be ready for those to warn. We must tell them. The Bible said the morning cometh. The morning cometh. The watchman sounds out, and the glad note, the night is nearly spent. The dawn is about to break. The night was the most frightening time of all. And the watchman could not see the wall as he could see the wall during the day. And the enemy had a better chance of coming close enough to attack that city during the night. And then in the daytime, the enemy would be far more exposed. And the news dawn approaching was coming that brought comfort to the hearts of the people that day. But I'm happy to tell you that the morning cometh. One day the Lord Jesus will come. He'll receive His people unto Himself. He'll raise the dead who died in faith. He'll vanquish all the enemies. He'll take us home to heaven one day. We just need to hang on, church. We don't need to give up. It may look dark now, but the morning's about to break. Amen. And it will safely be with the Lord. The Bible says weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. But we need to tell them the night comes also. The watchman says after the morning passes, night will return. The day-night cycle will not be broken. For Israel, there may be a fight at the end of the tunnel, but if they don't repent, there will be another dark tunnel to travel. But we have a similar message for the people of God. There's a joyous morning on the horizon, but for the lost sinner, there's nothing but a dark night of eternal separation, eternal punishment in hell. Things are looking up for the people of God, but the lost people, they have nothing to look forward to about the undiluted wrath of an almighty God. The wrath under which the lost live today will come crashing down on them in eternal judgment one day. The Bible said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We must tell, if you would inquire ye, return come. The watchman tells those who hear him to inquire, return and come. He's calling the wayward ones back to God. He's saying there's a great danger on the horizon, but there's still time to make a change. There's still time to seek refuge. You need to come to God. You need to return to God. You need to repent of your sins. You need to get right with God. That's the message that Israel needed. And that's the message that we all need to be trumpeting in the last days. We need to be that watchman. Unity Baptist Church, we need to be that watchman. Danger. A great danger is looming around the horizon. But it's not too late. God is still saving souls. He's still changing lives. He's still receiving those who come to Him by faith. That's the message we need to share with a lost and dying world. They need to hear the news that there's still hope in this old world. You go and listen to the news. You go and read the newspaper. It don't look like there's much hope. But I'm glad today I got hope. I know that Jesus is coming again. I'm going to have a glorified body. Amen. I won't be no more bad knees. Amen. Won't be no more bad hearts. Amen. Won't be no diets in heaven. Amen. We'll be able to eat all the banana pudding we want. We can jump in the banana pudding and swim all day. Amen. What a day that'll be in heaven. A glorious day. But sinner, saint of God, don't get weary, because Jesus is coming again. There's a great danger surrounding the church. There's a great danger surrounding our homes, our community, and the world at large. The enemy is creeping ever closer. The enemy is threatening everywhere we love and hold dear. The threat is growing larger every day. But where are the watchmen? Where are the watchmen her gazing out over the horizon? Where are the watchmen who see the danger of the approaching judgment of God? Where are the watchmen who see the enemy creeping over closer to the walls of our churches, creeping over to our families, creeping over our homes, creeping over our communities? Where is that watchman who'll set the trumpet to their lips and sound the warning? We need to keep sounding the warning. We need to keep preaching the Bible. We need to keep preaching against sin. We need to warn this world that Jesus is coming again. Are you doing everything you can to comfort those that are looking for hope? There's people out these doors, they're looking for hope, but they're looking in the wrong direction. We need to go and tell them. That's why we need to get the gospel out. It's not just up for the missionary to give the gospel, but it's also for the church member. It's also for the church to give the gospel out. Many churches, they'll support a missionary. I thank God for that. And they'll pray for the missionary. But then we think, well, I gave the mission, so now I'm not obligated for our town. I'm not obligated for our community. God wants all. You might not be a missionary to go to England. You might not be a missionary to go to Africa. But God might want you to be a missionary across town. He might want you to be a missionary across the street. He might want you to be a missionary to your neighbor that's lost or not. But preacher, I gave them tracts before. I told them things about God before. They didn't want to listen. Well, you know what? I didn't listen the first time I heard the gospel. I didn't listen the first time I heard preaching. We just got to keep on going. And we got to keep on telling. We got to keep on being faithful. We got to keep being that watchman, because the day is coming that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And let's be that watchman for God in these last days. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. I pray you speak to our hearts. In your name, amen.